the greatest minds from around the world. This is the Nerds That Know. Stash here with my wonderful group of co-hosts. Please tell me, one and all, how is the world of Corona with you?
And also with you.
So say we all.
Yeah, it's, I'm so fucking depressed.
Harumph.
Hey, you know what? It just gives me another accessory to wear, so that's how I'm trying to look at it. I make fashion masks with, like, beads and...
Wow, okay.
Fancy. You should start an Instagram for all your fancy masks.
I did buy my first, like, special mask. Like, themed mask.
Yeah. What is it?
It's a guy's face.
Oh, I've seen that one.
This one was a special one for a concert I went to.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Never mind. I haven't seen it.
I offered to make you special masks.
And no, you made me a ideal mask and the mask I wear most often.
I don't really need a mask to sit here and trade stock and all
lose
that.
Lose money.
Actually, the last few days have been good money days because everything's just all kinds of fuckered up.
Well, that's good, I guess.
Yeah. So there you have it. But I don't wear masks enough, really. I don't. I find this absolutely humorous. A friend of mine went to a restaurant, because now restaurants are finally open, and they made it mandatory that you have to wear a mask between the front door and to your table. But once you're at the table, you're free to take your mask off, even if you don't have food in front of you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what else are they going to do?
I guess I'm like, okay, why the mask for 10 feet and then off it comes. I'm like, okay, it's just Jesus, what was that? So, I don't know, I just find that really funny. It's like all of the rules at the beginning were so, like, concrete, and now it's kind of like a shoot-from-the-hip kind of wibbly-wobbly, masky-whamy kind of thing, where do we, don't we?
What the
hell was that?
It's bedtime!
Oh my God, I have not had that much fun. No worries. Do what makes you feel safe out there. Please, we are encouraging everyone to wear masks. Bring yourself to a level of comfort. Absolutely. I don't want to disparage anyone from wearing masks at all.
Have you perhaps, like, read the new release, like, requirements for the Alamo?
You know, I saw the article post. And they're very specific about where you wear the masks. You can't come into the building without a mask. They're encouraging people to wear them at their seats if they're not.
They're eating. Requiring you wear them at your seats. You can only take them off to eat and drink.
Yeah. So I'm very curious to see how well that goes. They didn't mention anything about seating or how they're going to approach.
They did.
Monster. Did they? I didn't see that in my article.
It's there will be two empty seats between each person.
God, that's going to be just...
Okay. Which means capacity is down to a third.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, honestly, if you're in the same, like, enclosed space together, I don't know if it's going to help at all to do that.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, Fox. I really am. Because you're not talking to anybody. You're not really doing anything that causes you to breathe heavy. You're not speaking. So the majority of particulates that are released into the air are not there. Unless you are one lip-smacking, popcorn-gobbling monster, I don't see a lot of spittle coming out of people during a film. Unless it's like laughter, I mean, maybe a cheer. But other than that, I'm just kind of like, I mean, it's okay, fine. whatever in this new world, weird, dark world we've got going on. But I'm just kind of scratching my head, and I'm waiting to see the fallout. I really am. I'm just going to be happy the theaters are open. That's all I fucking care about right now.
I was talking about making masks with a little buttonhole in the front, so that way you can still fit a straw in there so you could drink with your mask on.
I want a mask that's designed like an old-time long underwear pouch in the back for the butt flap with the little buttons, just kind of like have it drop down. That would be great.
I will make you a long underwear mask. In the red with the buttons.
Nice. Nice. Stash, what were you going to say about theaters?
Oh, just I'm glad they're opening as well, but I'm worried about how costly this is going to be. Because if they need to recoup those seat prices, then tickets are looking to be like $40, and no one is going to take that up.
No, no one's going to want to go for that kind of ticket price. So, and we need the theaters to survive. For the entertainment industry to survive, the theaters have to pull through. They really do.
They'll eat the cost. They know they have to. They either eat the cost to remain open or close now and get it over with.
Well, I mean, a lot of the AMCs have done that, so they're not too far from your thought tank, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, some of them are going to. There's no chance they all survive. But the ones that will survive are the ones that are going to be willing to spread it out to more theaters, keep movies in longer, stuff like that, just to get back their cost, the upfront cost of showing them.
I think it was the Littleton Theater here in Colorado that's doing a free showing of Cars on the side of the building. You had to make arrangements to book a parking spot for your car, but they're doing a free screening for that. So I know they're definitely thinking outside of the box to just try and get people in. And Alamo is at least in a unique position. I don't know what movies they're choosing to bring back when they open. So that actually might be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm really curious as well, because this is an open opportunity for them to create their own programming for at least the next couple of months.
Oh, absolutely.
So we can see some of the best films, the most iconic films from the past, and they can really take advantage of this. But I'm really worried about the potential charges.
Yeah,
for something like this, because this has hit them incredibly hard. They've been closed for what, 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably going to be until the end of this month before we see any of them really opening.
And then, depending upon the movie, they may be competing with it streaming at the same time that it's in the theater. That's another obstacle. So you get there. You pay $10 for a ticket and $50 for a bucket of popcorn.
I mean, that's the worry. That's honestly the concern. And, like, I got their mailing thing, and they asked, it's like, we need to try and recoup some of this money. And I'm like, I already spend $30 every time I go to see a movie with you guys. I'm not really willing to spend more than that.
Yeah. Save the clock tower. I mean, save the local theaters.
Yeah, it's like, I love Alamo. It's like, I think it is the best cinema experience ever.
True story.
And, like, I am so excited for them to, like, continue doing business and stuff like that. But now is the time where they can very easily alienate their audience. And when they do, they'll never recover.
They'll never pull out. Didn't I see an actual date for a theater release for a film?
I saw that too, and I tried following it, and it was just like BS.
Okay.
All right. Tenet seems to be the only one.
Yes, that was it, Tenet. Which looks freaky as hell.
That's going to be the first, I think, new movie released into theaters is what it's looking like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, Christopher Nolan's going to push it through and make sure that it's the first one in theaters, I think.
Oh, of course. Nolan's got those big brass ones that he's like, this is going. And it's not about David Tennant. It's not his autobiography, if that's what you're
saying. Yeah, I gather.
It's,
What a shame.
What a shame. It's kind of an odd. No, I know you would, but have you seen him? He is an absolute train wreck. That like Scottish hair just gone completely wild. Him and Michael Sheen have done these back and forth videos that have been absolutely hilarious, and both of them just look like prison inmates. I mean,
in fairness, like, so does half of the population right now.
Wow. Some of them do, some not so much, but
I think that he would have to work, David Tennant would have to work very hard for me not to think he's hot.
I don't know. The Scottish is kind of coming out with the long moppy hair that he's got going on. It is.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with that.
Are you? All right. In.
He kind of looks like a Wolverine right now. Like, not Wolverine Hugh Jackman.
an actual
Badger family Wolverine.
Yes. He looks like Wolverine's bastard son. That's exactly what he looks like.
And not like the little girl from the movie?
No, not X-23. Oh,
I don't know, man. It's an interesting time. We'll see some interesting developments over the next couple of months in that regard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and another example is San Diego Comic-Con is slowly leaking the lineup for their virtual rooms. I saw one that is going to be Bill and Ted. They're going to actually have the...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've been... Every time I see one leak, I've been posting it onto our page.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Hall H is going to be this year virtually. I'm really curious. I know that they've posted multiple things, and they keep just peppering it a little bit more every day. So this could be kind of cool or kind of a travesty. I don't know which way I'm going to go on this yet.
I don't know yet, but I know that I want to find out.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith is hosting the panel for that.
For Bill and Ted? Okay, yeah. that might be kind of fun then.
He talked about it on his Fat Man Beyond thing this week. He got a screener for the movie already and all that stuff. So he's hosting the panel for that.
Oh, I did see him comment about the film he'd already seen, the leak on that one. And he commented that it's great fan service. It really pays homage to the old and takes it in a bright new direction. So I'm curious to see, and I'm sure he's probably kicking himself thinking, damn, I should have done that for Rebooted. but failed miserably. So I'm curious to see. I really want to check this film out. The more and more I see about it.
He called it adorable, which is what I found funny. He said it's adorable.
Adorable.
Yes, he said adorable.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I don't know about that word coming out of Kevin Smith's mouth, really.
Exactly. It kind of terrifies me, to be honest.
Just adorable.
I feel like adorable is what I want in a movie.
Okay. I don't know. I look at John Wick, and the last thing I think is adorable. But, you know.
I mean, puppies are adorable.
Puppies are adorable.
Well,
I feel like Kevin Smith would not describe puppies as adorable, though. I feel like he would have a different word for them, which is why I'm concerned as to what he defines as adorable.
Well, he brings up they both do have daughters in the movie. That's been 100% confirmed, I guess, that both Bill and Ted have a daughter in that movie that are going to be playing a role in the story.
Okay. Yeah. Which we did talk about, because we knew at least one of them had a daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. And apparently he was referencing the relationship you see, the relationship, the father-daughter dynamic is adorable specifically.
Okay.
So see, that could be adorable.
So where are the princesses in all of this, I wonder? Are they around?
Are they the mothers of the daughters?
I would hope so.
That's my assumption on it. I don't know what else they would do with it.
Interesting. All right. No, the more, like I said, the more I hear about it, the more I'm anxious to see it. I'm really driving for this one. Huzzah.
Right, so another movie that we've seen some action about is the Asimov. You know, Apple is putting like a gajillion dollars into this Isaac Asimov movie.
Yeah, it's the Foundation series, which is one of the most iconic science fiction series ever. And it has been like long rumored to be impossible to adapt. But
has anybody here read it? Like the actual Foundation trilogy?
I have.
It's actually in my library.
Okay, so you know exactly why it would be hard to translate
that. I do. I know exactly why. And I honestly, like, I'm really curious about the adaptation because of that. Like, I don't see how it can be practically done. And the trailer I sent to you guys shows that they're kind of taking a strange direction and trying to create like a odd futuristic utopia around their trailer, and it doesn't really suit.
I got a weird Children of Men vibe from it, from the trailer.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the same grittiness as Children of Men.
Oh no, it's a lot brighter. Just I'm saying that the general, like the feel of the trailer, you're kind of like, you can tell that something's gonna go wrong. You just don't know what. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which I mean, you and I take it have both read it, so we both know what goes down. But well, it's interesting. I'm really curious to see what they do, and I'm really surprised that Apple TV are the ones to try this.
Well, and that's honestly the kick in the teeth, because you're going to put all of this in one of the most iconic properties possible, and it's on Apple. I don't know a person out there that has Apple TV at this stage.
I don't either. For a while, they were doing well, but
they were. But now, out of left field, this comes in, and it's like, what? Who was asleep at the wheel on this? Who at Netflix needs to get shook like a baby? Because this is just, I want to watch it, but I'm not going to, I don't need another goddamn streaming service. Shit.
I'm guessing Apple is hoping that the tech aspects are a rollover and will help kind of guide, you know, the tech super, you know, sci-fi fantasy crowd.
Hopefully. I mean, let's face it. They've got more money than God to throw at this project, so I can see. Yeah.
Which is what this project needs.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
based on the trailer, that's what it has.
Yeah,
that's like they're going all out, it looks like.
I mean, that's what they're going to have to do. I'm worried that they don't have the best track record on any of their shows that they've created.
Correct.
I don't know, she
this,
wasn't
like, honestly, I'm surprised Amazon isn't the one that like went after this property, because Amazon is trying to like adapt quite a few strange series into mini series, and I feel like they would have been a better fit. But I don't know, maybe Apple is going to come out with something to prove and they will wreck this. It's like, I have no idea. It's hard to say.
Well, and there's no telling that it'll just stay on Apple TV. I mean, a terrible example, but Cobra Kai, you know, was made for YouTube Red, and it's now on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that one.
Season 3 premieres on Netflix, and they will have access to the first two seasons, as well as YouTube.
You know, so like it was made for one streaming platform. And again, I'm not comparing, you know, anything Asimov to Cobra Kai. Please do not misunderstand me.
That is great American art, either way.
Tis the true. But, you know, one was made for a streaming service that is now available on another. You know, or if you look at like the Disney movies that you can get on Disney Plus, that are also available on Netflix and Amazon.
That's getting confusing, because some of the Marvel movies are not available on Disney Plus and are available on Netflix. And it's just driving so me nuts. Confusing. It is. I went hunting for something and I was thinking, it'll be on Disney Plus. Nope, not there. I was like, God damn it.
A big chunk of that is just the contract overlap.
Yeah.
You know, they had contracts with Netflix and with Stars and with all the other companies.
Yep.
They have to honor those contracts and eat a huge pile of money.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have things like Onward that just came out, and it was available on fucking everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was so good too. That movie was so good.
Yeah, I actually got Fox to watch a movie with me. I was shocked.
I did. I sat down and watched an entire movie all at once.
Yes, not only did we very much enjoy that movie, but we actually had Ella do the video review of that movie.
So, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, the Asimov one, I mean, they've got everything but James Cameron, it looks like, involved in the project. So, my hopes and prayers are with them till all are one. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Let's go.
Oh, so you think they should put Bruce Willis in it?
Yes, I do think. If you're going to save a film, or a franchise for that matter, bring in Bruce goddamn Willis.
Bruce Willis's version of Isaac Asimov.
That would be so weird.
That would be amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I'd pay for that.
Hell, I'm sure you would.
Oh man.
I really don't know where to go with that. Sony Fox, you have any new cool video games you're playing?
You fucking know I do. So I was thinking about how, like, okay, so for our listeners, a couple nights ago, I was randomly suggested an app for my phone in the Google Play Store. It's called Samsara Room, and I was like, I don't know, this looks like whimsical and creepy. And I was right. I have no idea when these games came out. Like, Stash, I don't know if you want to look up when they came out. So this might be just, like, super old news. Also, no one gets excited about phone apps. But, oh my god, there are these, like, escape room apps. Like, escape room game for your phone. And, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, the art is incredible. It's like, it is whimsical. And
it's Civilization-esque. What? Or not Civilization. What's the other one? Sorry, I'm trying to think of the name of something and I lost it. Never mind. I'll go back to my silence.
These games are like really challenging and cool. And so the first one that I picked up was called Samsara Room, and it's based around reincarnation. Samsara is a Sanskrit word, which means like the cycle of death and rebirth that all things are tied to in the material world. And then right now I'm playing Paradise, and it's like set in the 1700s. And you're like this guy who has to like go home after his mother dies, but your family lives in this like freaky little island on a lake. And like, it's real fucked up. And so like every like level of the game that I'm playing now, Paradise, is based on one of the plagues. So it's just been really just creepy and awesome to play, and I'm gonna buy absolutely everything that this company, the company that makes it, is called Rusty Lake. I'm gonna buy everything they've ever made.
All right, Fox, will you make sure to put the links to all of that out on our page for our listeners?
Hell yes.
I don't know. I've been pretty busy with Marvel Contest of Champions, which is all phone driven. That and Dead by Daylight are the two games that have got me hooked right now. So
okay, how's Dead by Daylight?
Oh my god, I'm on a boat and I love it.
Do you have your flippy floppies?
I do have a pair of flip flops. Yep.
But what about your swim trunks?
They are kind of 70s-ish. I'm kind of, because I had the Friday the 13th game, which is you're trying to escape Jason Voorhees and you have different outfits. That one, I'm a chick in a bikini. So I'll just to stay with that, I decided to go with, you know, a guy in a Speedo. It works.
Makes sense.
Now, Tank, you and your wife do escape rooms, is that correct?
Yes, we have.
So would you guys do the virtual escape rooms like Fox is talking about?
I actually considered it. Yeah, it looks kind of entertaining.
You know, especially since escape rooms are probably not going to be a thing for the near future.
No, there's one that's running and operating.
There's one that's open. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still running. Just really? Small groups. I mean, it's always been small groups anyway, so
Just wear your mask while you're in there. Don't hyperventilate.
Well, basically. No, it's not that. It's I'd be more concerned about, like, people touch everything in those, trying to figure out what they're doing.
You can't sanitize all that.
No.
I'm sure they have to. That's probably...
You know, just
requirement. Jeez.
After each group comes in, you just go in there with a fire blaster and flamethrower.
Just burn the whole room down and resupply everything.
I mean, that's pretty much what you'd have to do, man. I mean, those things have so much stuff in them to give them atmosphere, and like you don't know what you're doing, so you touch and fondle everything and move stuff around and. Unfortunately, I'm sorry.
They might be requiring gloves and masks. If that's the case, decrease that.
Well, yeah, one would hope they're requiring gloves. I think they should be necessary.
Yeah, because I know the mystery escape room here. I saw everyone's with masks because they take pictures of you as you come out. So, I'm with you. I think they would end up touching everything. So. That's got to be a nightmare to sanitize.
Even if you do give them gloves, what's to stop some idiot from rubbing their eyes and then touching everything?
Yeah, the gloves don't do shit.
That's true.
I mean, but the gloves are at least better than nothing.
Maybe?
Quite a bit, touching your face, wiping off sweat, and start touching everything in the room. Yeah.
You know, hopefully people aren't putting the gloves in their mouths, at least, you know, I mean, something.
Yeah, they scratch their nose, pick their ear, you know, it happens.
Oh my goodness. Okay, and on that note of scratching your nose and picking your ear, and
as you do,
such bodily functions that people do. While they're in escape rooms.
Break everything.
There is a new platform that's supposed to be launching for PC and for the Switch, launching in September, called Spinach. Which, like, what gamer wants to play on Spinach?
I read that as Spinch.
Yeah.
Okay. Spinach. Well, yeah, because it's missing the other eye, but
yeah,
it still looks like spinach.
So I was looking at that article, and I was really, really digging on the that like rainbow art style, like
yeah, it's supposed to be like super psychedelic and super trippy, and like it looks really cool. But oh my God. Think the name is really weird.
So that game, it like hits me right. In the cross section of just like again like whimsical like freaky deaky super just like weird and silly like that's just if my personality was a game it would be that
it reminds me of that strange Netflix show that they just released well they didn't just release it they released it about 2 months ago where it's like a weird comedy where this guy runs around talking to people in this like crazy psychedelic world. Midnight Gospel.
That's what it is.
I was working my way there. And like the art style is very similar to that. But I mean, the thing of it is, games like this have been done to nauseam. I'm not sure, unless this game has something seriously innovative, I don't think that it's going to see any real success.
Well, I saw that they had they're kind of catering to everybody, or at least attempting to, by making it essentially an anti-rogue. You have no lives to be replaced, you just restart wherever you left off and keep going. So it'll probably get some attention for speedrunners.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure the Switch. Some, but like it's not real success.
As far as I can see, based on what I was reading, like it's not going on any of like the traditional gaming platforms.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's other going than on the PC. Steam.
Yeah. But it's for the Switch. Primarily.
Yeah, but the Switch is like the indie seller platform right now. If you are an indie developer, you want your game on the Switch because it has better odds of selling there than any of the other marketplaces.
And it's a platformer that fits their motif, you know.
Yeah.
Nintendo's always been a platform pusher, so it makes sense.
It does. I'm just worried they push their own platformers more than they push indies. Like, mm-hmm. I'm surprised Celeste didn't see more success on the Switch. And that's, like, the best platformer that's come out in years. So, I'm curious to see if anything interesting will happen with it, but unfortunately, I think the time where a title like that would see real success on the Switch has passed.
We'll see what happens. You might be right, you know. Platforming is kind of in a weird in-between space, you know. Mm-hmm. It got a huge jump with Cuphead. That did a huge thing for them. But are we too far outside of that now? Because now it's a lot of point-and-click adventure style. And stuff like that.
I honestly, I don't think platforming is ever going to go out of style.
Oh, no, it won't.
No, not for people who enjoy it, but for the mainstream. Unless it's Mario, there's not a lot of huge selling games in that genre, minus Cuphead a couple years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, but Cuphead, I think, was lightning in a bottle. There's no way that's going to have anyone else try and follow that formula is going to fail. And goddamn, that game is hard.
Well, and I don't think this one's trying to do that, because this one seems like it's going to be difficult, but it doesn't look like it's going to be pushing that threshold that Cuphead was, where it's basically just lovable torture.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm curious. I'll keep an eye out for it and see if I hear anything else about it from like game studios. We have been seeing so much goddamn video game news lately. It is ridiculous.
Do you think quarantine will play into a factor whether or not this is successful?
No.
Yes.
No, it's far enough outside. It's not coming out till later in the year.
Yeah, but we don't know where we're going to be then. Are we going to be in another quarantine? Because, like, numbers are spiking again in certain states.
Mm-hmm. No. No, we're not going to be put in another quarantine. There's too much pushback against it now that you wouldn't be able to do it. I think at this point in time, everyone's kind of resolved to, well, I guess if it happens, it happens at this point. So I don't think it'll be impacted by the quarantine. There's no reason for it to be impacted by the quarantine. If no one's been staying in their houses for a month, mm-hmm. and there's people getting sick by the thousands again, and no one cares at all. And not in the main population groups, no one seems to care. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be far enough beyond the threshold of Corona that it's not going to matter much. I mean, but then again, the price point is low enough that it may be a factor, but it is going to be a very small factor, because right around the time it's coming out, we're going to start the major windup for next-gen consoles for both PlayStation and Xbox. So even if it would see success normally, it's not going to, because that is going to take all the limelight.
And in that time frame, because it's in September, right?
September. And consoles are thought to release in November, but no one knows for sure yet.
With what's happening currently, because we can take into this, sports right now are at the point where they're going to be it's going to be a huge driver for everybody. the sports world is making its huge comeback probably next month, it looks like, minus, you know, PGA and stuff like that. So right around September, based on the shortened seasons, everyone's going to be in the playoffs. So that's going to take a huge amount of people's time and attention. So we'll see on that.
Yay, sports ball.
Yeah, well, it is. It is a huge thing, though. It's billions and billions of dollars, and with it being gone for
Tank, don't let Smurf fool you. He's a bigger sports ball nerd than either of us. He's a super jock. Okay, he just masks himself as a nerd.
You been watching the AFLs?
A little. It's entertaining to watch.
Oh, it is. Oh, I love it. I loved it anyway. I used to play rugby and played some Aussie football. So
nice. See, it reminded me of the old league that McMahon from the WWF tried to put together, where the teams run to the center of the field to get the ball, and yeah, it was whatever like freaking schoolyard rule we can throw at it to just make it interesting. And yeah, we'll put nicknames on the jerseys. What the hell?
The XFL did make a small comeback this year until it got interrupted by, you know, the coronavirus, and then it got killed again.
Yep, it done.
Yeah, like I said, Tank, don't let him fool you.
I just think it's going to have a bigger impact on the entertainment business than anything coming up in the near future.
Well, and it's funny because on the con side, not to mention what we did already on San Diego, but Planet Comic Con is still looking to do their con in August. A couple of other stand-up comedians that were coming through Colorado who have also moved to August. Mm-hmm. The Star Trek Experience that was going to happen in August has moved to December in Vegas. So, I mean, the cons are trying to fight back. Colorado Festival of Horror, however, did postpone theirs till next year. So the first con here in Colorado, well, actually the All Seas Fan Expo is going to be in October, and Rocky Mountain Con will be in November. So those are looking right now to be the two first cons here in the state.
And I haven't heard from Mile High Con what's going on with them.
Oh, I forgot about Mile High Con. Yeah, they're in there too.
Because they're normally at the end of October, and this will be like year like 30-something, 29 or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's some ridiculous number for Mile High Con.
Do you honestly think those cons are going to be enacted this year? I
don't know.
I'm skeptical. I don't think we're going to see any conventions this year.
I can honestly say that I would not be surprised if Planet pushes off. Planet is a big Comic-Con draw already. So, and to see everyone else cancel, I wouldn't be surprised to see Planet doing the same thing. At least with, like, the smaller drawn events, like the All Seas Expo and Rocky Mountain Con. It's a big enough draw for locals, but, you know, you're not getting any really out-of-state pull. It's it's Dragon Con, which is Labor Day weekend. So it's the same weekend every year. And that one, that'll be a big telling, because I have not seen any news out of them other than it's still a go. So
dude, there's no way Dragon Con is going to be. Like, it's one of the biggest, most populous conventions in the U.S.
Emerald City still has said they haven't canceled yet.
No, Emerald City officially canceled. Emerald City is officially pushed to next year.
When did that happen? Because I haven't gotten that confirmation from them yet.
They announced that last week. Okay. Last week they officially pulled the plug.
Because we have press passes for that.
That is correct. So they have said that, actually, if you were a paying vendor for their event, if you paid to have a table and all that, you can submit and get your money back by the end of the month. Emerald came right out and was like, if you don't want to roll it, we'll refund it. If you don't want your tickets, we'll refund your money now. We're not even going to hassle with the bullshit of, you know, rolling over or whatever. You want your money back, done. So Emerald was really, really fan-friendly when it came to that, where other cons, you know, were a little less than fan-friendly, kind of prickly.
To put it mildly.
So I don't know. Dragon Con, you're right. Dragon Con is the biggest cosplay gathering of drunken idiots you will ever see on the planet. And I don't know. Social distancing is just that is not a reality. That's just stupid waiting to happen. I mean, come on.
So yeah, social distancing and alcohol don't really.
No, it doesn't. And all the events and everything that goes on at Dragon Con, I mean, you're talking 4 hotels. I mean, what, the equivalent of 10 city blocks worth of conventions and just craziness. No, I don't. You either call that or just get ready for one hell of a con crud at the end of that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I think if Dragon Con goes on, it could very easily kill Dragon Con.
Yeah?
Because the sheer number of people who would get sick from it, I don't think they would ever be able to throw a convention again.
Nope. Oh, and we're not talking the carpet in the one of the hotels. No.
This is
the flu. I know. I'm curious to see how it turns out. So that's kind of where we're sitting right now with cons, and no word yet on Dippy. What's the Harry Potter con?
Leaky Con.
Yes, Leaky Con. Nothing out of Leaky Con yet. I've been watching that one too.
Well, Leaky Con Denver has actually pushed it back to October.
Okay.
But that could change.
Okay. Well, there you go. I wouldn't mind going to Vegas for the Star Trek con.
I wouldn't either.
Except for ticket prices are $340-some for general admission.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, it's the same group of people that run like Supernatural Con, Lucifer Con, you know, the Legacy Con. I mean, they've got their hand on, you know, what's hip and happening in the world of television, so they wrangle those people in quick.
Yeah. Okay, Mile High Con is officially virtual for 2020.
Yeah, that's probable. There's quite a few.
Yeah, but, I mean, that takes away from Mile High Con because it's a literary con. And half the fun is going there is picking up, you know, old books and, you know, stuff that's out of print. And That's disappointing. That sucks.
But it is officially virtual for this year.
Because right.
I know that we've been supporters of Mile High Con for the past 3 years. And as individuals, we've been there for even longer.
Yep.
But as a show, we've been there the last 3 years. So this year, it is officially virtual. They will still have all of their panels and guest of honors and programming and everything else like that. Still have Authors Row. It will just all be virtual now.
Okay. Well, no first editions this year. Damn it.
Yep.
Well, I can tell you from, considering I'm a participant, Colorado Springs, we at the flea market, we have kind of decided to take over the pavilion at the Colorado Springs Flea Market and make it into its own Comic-Con every weekend, essentially.
I saw that. Hernandez pushed that up this week. And, yeah, that's encouraging. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we just decided that.
And you can go down there and see Knox Nostalgic Collectibles and get all sorts of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people. They've taken their – I think we're doing like 20 stalls this weekend. And we have, you know, people coming out, and we're going to have artists and cosplayers and whatever.
So this is going to be your biggest weekend so far for this?
Yeah, this upcoming one is the biggest one. It was basically the biggest one it started. Mm-hmm. And then this week, we're actually going to just making it bigger. There's more people going to be involved in it. And We'll see how it works out, but it looks like it's definitely getting people to be hopeful.
Nice. All right. Adapt
and survive, I guess, is how we're going to go about it. We'll see what happens. And we have, I think it's this weekend on Saturday.
Yes.
We have some local artists coming out, I know for sure.
I think I saw Mentz was going to be there.
Yep. Yeah, he's one of them.
And I'm trying to...
Yeah, we were actually... So Nerds That Know was an official sponsor when they started doing this back in the tank. That was what? December, January?
That was February, I believe, when we did the toy and comic convention.
Yes.
Yeah, that was in February, I think.
So Nerds That Know was an official sponsor when they did this the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And Tank had a table there.
Yeah. And for the foreseeable future, I'm going to be there at least one day every weekend. So, and it looks like everyone else is just kind of building off of that. So we'll see what happens. But it makes me hopeful seeing that they don't want to make, they're not going to let stuff just disappear. They're going to find a way to adapt and make it happen.
Let's face it, we need to see that. That needs to happen.
Yeah, and actually that's a good segue into the newest Wonder Woman comic that is coming out. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at the article that I sent on that, but there is a big article that just came out earlier this week about Wonder Woman attacking and dethroning God, capital G, God.
I mean, as a communist, I'm into it.
So, Wonder Woman, apparently, ends up in heaven, stands at the gates of heaven itself, swearing to fight God for her beliefs. And that is the beginning of this series of comics. So
yeah, it's kind of a continuation of what's been happening, yeah.
So yeah, Wonder Woman is going to become God. Ooh. She's already been my goddess for years, so it works. But thoughts?
That's pretty hot.
I got nothing. I'm waiting for the issues to come out. I'm just going to read it. That's all I got to say.
I mean, I'd let her top me.
Stash, you'd let anybody who has a good flogger top you.
You're not wrong.
All right, Tank, our resident comic book expert.
I'm the expert?
Well, you're the one who actually works with comic books on the regular.
Oh, gotcha.
Stash is afraid of comic books. Fox doesn't really read them. And apparently Smurf is saying nothing.
I just read very specific comic books.
And Stash is afraid of comic books.
Terrified, okay.
He only reads the Wikipedia.
I will have you know, I'm damn near buying that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one. Because I did my research on it after our last show.
The Last Ronin storyline?
Yeah, it's so fucking badass.
Did I not tell you?
Yeah, and the
did Wikipedia art tell you it was so badass, Smash?
No, but various other like websites have told me about it.
Yes, it is. If you're a turtle fan, this will be the hot series. I know they just started the female Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. I can't remember Jaqua or whatever her name is, which is a fun series, and her evolving into a turtle and all of that has been like cool to read. But this, if you are a turtle fan, is if you're a samurai fan, if you're a ninja fan, this story is just gonna be fucking amazing.
It looks like it's decently inspired by Samurai Jack, which is cool.
There's a lot of influences in this. I know like there's a lot, a Seven Samurai element to it, kind of a
Last
dystopian
Ronin.
Feel to it. Yeah, Last Ronin, of course. So
it's gonna be so good.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about that series.
And people say I don't like comics. Ha!
No, you say you don't comics.
You're right.
it's nothing about us. It's what you tell us.
I don't know, man. Bobby rags on me a lot for it, so clearly.
Bobby rags on you a lot for a lot of things.
That is also accurate.
This is what family is for.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well,
so
Fox, that was oddly in stereo.
What was?
You're like coughing.
Oh man, I thought I muted myself.
You did. I just heard it echo down the stairwell. That was odd. As for other comics or exciting things.
Oh yeah.
There's a
last couple weeks have been pretty interesting, actually, especially for DC.
Yeah, DC's been on fire. We got Green Lantern 80th anniversary that landed this week. Batman is starting Joker War, which is gonna be amazing because we're gonna see all three Jokers finally come out, and they're going to explain that whole story that Capullo laid out a couple years ago.
And if anyone who read the 93, which just came out, it ends with a bang for sure.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, Tank was actually going to do a little recap / review of that for us.
Okay.
Remember we talked about it on Sunday.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Well, I mean, it's essentially 92 and 93 are the end of the Grand Design story, it seems.
Yep.
And you know, Punchline has finally come full into the story and wants to, you know, kill all the females in the DC universe, apparently. And she's starting with Catwoman and Harley, so...
Yes, and that's the fight everybody's been waiting for, is the fight between Punchline and Harley.
Oh, she beats the shit out of both her and Catwoman.
Yep, she does.
It's not even close. She beats them down and proves her dominance right out the gate. And it'd be interesting to see how that goes forward with the joke, with the, like you said, the Joker War stuff, because supposedly she's going to have a huge impact on how that plays out. Mm-hmm. So...
Can't wait.
Yeah, the artwork that I've been able to see from it is just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just so good.
Especially the cover work. A lot of the cover work has been pretty crazy recently.
Yeah, there's always like a half a dozen different variants, and last month's 92 was great with the Punchline variant cover.
Oh yeah,
and that was stunning.
Same with this week with the 93. Matina did a variant cover of Harley wearing Joker's mask.
Mm-hmm.
She looks legitimately
twisted
up and gone psychotic.
Yep.
But that's kind of common with Matina's work. He makes it super creepy and evil, which is interesting.
The only thing that's missing is the twitch.
So just talking about DC real quick, and sticking with comics, as a follow-up to our last show, you know, I was talking to Tank earlier about the fact that since Diamond is no longer the primary distributor, his contacts in the comic book industry have actually been having really positive experiences with the new distributors.
Oh, yeah. They've know everybody around here in the LCS, but I have my own two that I go to with regularity. And I talked to both of them, and they're like, well, since the quarantine started, or since the DC shipping has changed, they've had just a huge reduction in damaged books, like to the point where they're only getting one or two damaged books rather than whole cases of books being damaged. And then the ones that are being damaged are being replaced immediately by the distributor with no having to fight for anything, no bickering back and forth between them and Diamond. And their shipping costs have actually slightly decreased, weirdly enough. So the two people that I go to for the most part for my LCS have actually are much happier now that Diamond's not in control.
I mean, we'll hopefully they maintain that quality of delivery, because if they do, Diamond's not going to be able to compete.
Well, and Diamond owes a gigantic amount of money right now to both DC and Marvel.
Yep.
So Marvel might need to figure it out soon, too, because Diamond might be taking the big sleep very soon.
Yeah, so the big question is, how long until Diamond declares bankruptcy?
Well, it was already rumored before COVID hit, so Geppi was on the bubble. So this put him right in the ground. So, yeah, if he makes it past August, that is one smooth-talking motherfucker. So,
and if they make it past August, it'll be dependent on completely on Marvel, who is shipping much less books than DC right now. Marvel's putting out maybe 5 or 6 books a week.
If?
DC's going their whole line at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they don't make enough off of Marvel and they're losing the Diamond, they're losing the DC Direct toy line is already gone. So, yeah, they're hurting for money as is, and it's going to be much worse very soon.
Yep. It's an end of an era, baby.
I have a legitimate thought that to avoid bankruptcy, I'm wondering if Diamond is going to sell their distribution to Marvel at this point, because Marvel could potentially afford it.
Yeah, but would they want it? If they're being shown these more effective methods by DC, why would they not adopt a similar method?
Well, that they might transition it into a similar method. That's what I'm wondering. They might take all of the physical stuff, the distribution centers and stuff like that, and then just convert them.
Yeah, and we're talking about the mouse. I mean, they've probably already got distribution down to a science for all of their other departments. For them to just go next door and say, what would it take for you to distribute our comics? Along with all the other stuff for, like, the Disney stores and all the other merch that is flowing out of the castle right now. I honestly do not see Marvel having a hiccup at all. So
no, and like I said, I'm saying they're buying Diamond. They're not buying Diamond's company. They're buying all their assets.
Yeah.
Just to make their shipping easier.
But if they bought Diamond, that also means they're bringing on Diamond's debt, which I wouldn't see. I don't see Disney and all of them making those same mistakes of the past.
I agree with what Jake is saying. Not buying Diamond, but just buying their assets. Not buying the company.
No.
Just saying, we'll take your shipping units.
Yeah, they're gonna buy, I'm thinking they're gonna buy their distribution centers specifically. And they're going to buy out whatever contracts might be involved with distributors, like the actual distributors themselves, the distribution companies. And say, hey, we'll take you on. Diamond, you know, forgive their debt to Diamond, or forgive Diamond's debt to them, and just say, you know what, we'll just take this from you. See you later.
Yeah, I can see him buying out the rights. So I don't know. I'll be curious to see how it plays out. Just after watching it for so many years, and I'll be happy to see the end of this story.
What's going to be interesting is to see what happens with all of the smaller publishing companies that we're kind of on the verges of closing down with Diamond, and to see how that plays out. Like, are they going to try and find their own distribution stuff, or are they going to try and jump on with DC or Marvel through their distribution companies and push out their stuff?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see them jump with DC.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
Just like as an outsider's question, how popular is like digital distribution in comics now? Is it taking over the way it is in the books market, or is it still
it's still all
paper?
Yeah.
There is a market share for digital. I think it's roughly in the 20% range last I saw.
Yeah, barely 20%.
But it is still like massively paper product that's going to probably stay that way as long as possible.
Yeah. I was just curious because I know like that's been an issue with like writing, is like the percentage has steadily overtaken, so publishers have had to reevaluate their production lines and stuff like that. But it's good to see comics isn't heading in that direction as well, or at least not so quickly.
Not as quickly.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I have a couple of digital comic books, you know, like when I knew we were going to be reviewing something and I know that it was available digitally and I couldn't get somewhere to get a copy of it, I would get it digitally. But then I also have it in hard copy.
Yeah, I have.
Because the digital version is just not as good.
I do digital sometimes. Just there's certain things. Marvel has this weird thing where the in-between stories somehow end up on digital only, which is frustrating, but, you know, whatever. And then I also, through the DC Universe thing, they have all of their stuff go to digital on that. So if you're a DC Universe subscriber, you can actually read as many comic books digitally as you want.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like, the last digital that I downloaded was the Old Man Logan series.
Oh, God, I love that story.
So good. So good.
This week, well, there's a couple new things, like the introduction of the Golden Lantern, even though it's not technically the introduction of the Golden Lantern, because they already did that last year. But this week's Legion of Superheroes has the Gold Lantern coming to fight alongside the Legion of Superheroes, and it's pretty cool. But everyone's treating it like this is a first appearance. It's the first appearance of this Gold Lantern, but we already had Gold Lanterns. Book 11, season 1 of Green Lantern, they kind of got introduced to the concept of the Gold Lanterns already, so that should be, but people are buying it. People are buying it at hyperinflated costs right now because of the Gold Lantern. So we'll see. So not my favorite book this week was the Dark Knight's Death Metal.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, it's insane. It goes so bleak from the very beginning, but by the end of the book, you're like, well, that just turned everything upside down very quickly. Batman has his plans, and Wonder Woman does some stuff.
That's comics are so crazy, man. Their story arcs are so interesting. They're so intersectional, which makes them very odd in terms of a media.
Well, and then there's, they're just so, some of them are so weirdly disconnected. Like the Dark Knights thing, the Dark Knights Death Metal thing is basically completely disconnected from the main lines. There is a tiny amount of crossover, but they're mostly disconnected at this point because, you know, Aquaman still needs to have his book, and Wonder Woman still needs to have her book, and Batman still needs to have his weird stories. So they just said, well, let's just take this Dark Universe approach and we'll make everyone crazy and psycho. And
I mean, I'm about it.
Yeah, yep. It's one of those, like, you can't think, oh my God, I can't believe Wonder Woman just did that in this book, and then she did something completely different in the other book. It's not the same person.
No. No, it's definitely not. No. Although, what she seems to have done in Dark Knight's Death Metal is really fucking cool, though, so I will say that. Well, I don't know how much information I want to divulge. I don't know if you comic readers want to have anything.
Yeah, let's keep spoilers to a minimum for our fans.
But I would say definitely pick up Dark Knight's Death Metal if you want an absolute insane story that has some really interesting plot points that are going to make the rest of the series pretty cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. And on that note, I think that's everything we had to discuss today. There's many other things coming up, you know, new series that'll be coming out, series, you know, new seasons that have been, we've been getting teased with.
Yeah. Isn't Umbrella Academy like next week?
No, July 31st.
Oh, okay.
End of next month.
All right.
I'm so excited.
Sorry.
I already watched like the first season again.
Yeah, I did too.
To get ready.
Oh yeah. Time well spent.
Yeah.
There has been an announcement that Witcher season 2 production is resuming in August because they had to stop because of coronavirus delays, but Witcher their production schedule has been reset.
I mean, that's gonna be, yeah, that's gonna be a lot of series. We'll see. Hopefully most of them get started over the next month or so.
Yes,
but the good news is
the Witcher series has, the production schedule has been announced.
Yeah, but it's tentative now.
Shush your face, Stash.
I'm sorry, I'm just being realistic.
You know, it's like Handmaid's Tale season 4.
What about it?
You know, its production schedule has been reset and is supposed to be coming out in 2021. Hey, look, I've read the books. I've actually enjoyed the show.
I mean, I've heard the show's awesome. I haven't watched it because Bleak is not really what I want right now, but...
It's very intense. You know, but I enjoy, like, the little backstabby, you know, let's take down the man.
Oh, that is always fun.
You know, so when they're slowly announcing production schedules that are getting back on track, this makes me happy.
It's true. Eric, guys, do you have anything else you're excited about maybe coming out?
Oh, you know, I never said Fox here, but, you know, Fox here at the end of the episode.
Well... We kind of filled in the blanks for everyone, but thank you.
Stash was the only one who introduced himself.
It's true. I mean, you are all supposed to introduce yourselves, but that's all right. I'll be the name of this podcast.
There is a small thing that came up that I thought was interesting.
Hmm.
J.K. Simmons has shot apparently footage for the next Spider-Man movie already, as reprising his role as J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes, he has.
And we have no idea what that is yet.
No, we do not. But
that does seem interesting that they're going to continue on with that. And
well, I'm curious if all of the rumors about Charlie Cox being the legal representation for Peter in the film is going to be true or not.
I would love that if that actually ends up happening. Because I like Charlie Cox as Daredevil personally. So.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see if that rumor comes true.
I'm curious about the Michael Keaton rumor coming back to be Batman.
Oh, no, that's true.
That's not rumor. That's happening.
That is happening. And
Batman, yeah.
Yep, and the new piece that got added today was Michelle Pfeiffer is now in talks of coming back as Catwoman.
Fuck yes! Dude! I mean, whatever, I don't care.
So... Uh-huh. That would be, if they could get both Keaton and Pfeiffer back in the suits for Ezra Miller's Flash, that would be amazeballs. I'm totally.
I would see it just for that.
Yep. Agreed. And on that bombshell, we shall say goodbye. So we will be back in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, send us questions. We'll send you answers because we're the nerds that know. Run fast, laugh hard. And always be kind.
And we're